Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. I'm Jamie Hampton, and today I get to be here with Becky Keefe, who's the community manager at Encourage. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Encourage and followed them. And most recently, she's released a really amazing book called The Simple Difference, How Every Small Kindness Makes a Big Impact. And I just don't think there's any other time in history maybe that we've needed this message more. So Becky, thank you so much for coming here, for taking time to share with us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I mean, praying Christian women are the women that I love. So this is going to be a fun conversation.
Great. Well, before we get into your book, which I'm excited to do, we like to ask all of our guests, what is your favorite prayer closet? So where do you like to go to feel close to God? And it could be off the wall, the crazier, the better, or it could be a literal prayer closet.
Well, I do not have a literal prayer closet because
most people don't.
I do not have a walk-in closet in my house. Yes. Although my children like to play hide and seek in our closet. They're getting very large and usually break stuff. But can I have two?
Oh yeah, definitely.
One is a different kind of closet. It's my shower. So I do a lot of good thinking and praying in the shower. I don't know. It's just like, don't have to be productive. It's just like time to relax. And I don't know. I just often feel like I hear from the Lord, in that time. And then I have, a spot in my backyard that I love to sit. I feel closest to the Lord when I'm in the mountains, which I can't do every day, but I have a little peek of the foothills near us and some tall liquid amber trees, which right now are changing, you know, beautiful colored leaves. And just that breath of fresh air helps me quiet my spirit and hear from Him.
Well, and I think the key word is quiet. I mean, you're talking about the shower, and I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before, how we've had some of our best, like, professional ideas, work ideas, as well as conversations with God. And I think it's just, it's one of the few places where it's almost like a sensory, depletion there, because you don't have a bunch of stuff coming in. Nobody is going to mostly be talking to you while you're in the bathroom. I mean, we've got kids, so, you know, they come in and out, but the shower, it's just like, you're just there. There's nothing else to do but wash your hair, and, you know, and so it just feels like there's that sensory depletion that opens the door for God to communicate, or even allows us to unravel our thoughts. That's, I feel like I walk around with all these, like, I feel like the, you know, the rubber band balls that you just keep adding the rubber bands to. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my thoughts throughout a day. And you need time to untangle those thoughts so that you can process them with God. And so I love that.
That is a good word, Jamie. And so the next time my husband is like, why are you taking such long showers? I'm like, Chris, I'm a rubber band ball.
That's
and I
right.
Too. I just need to take off some layers. I'm getting too wound up, which you would probably be like, yeah, you are too wound up.
Yep. Stay for as long as you want. That's good. Well, your new book is called The Simple Difference, How Every Small Kindness Makes a Big Impact. So I'm just wondering, as I looked at this, I'm thinking, well, in our post-COVID society, like with not post being over, but right after it alighted into our lives, we need this more than ever because there's so much anger and bitterness and even rage and outrage. Did you come up with this topic before COVID happened, or was it in the middle, or what actually prompted you to write the book and when?
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy, the timing of it. Because no, this was not a book that initially had anything to do with what happened to the world in 2020. The Simple Difference was an idea that really I started thinking about, ruminating on, processing with the Lord 5 or 6 years ago. When at the time, so I have three boys, they're now 9, 11, 12. But when they were really little, I often felt like, God, do I have anything to give? I know I'm giving all of me every day inside my home. And my first book is all about motherhood. So like motherhood is such a gift and a holy calling. And yeah, I also had this desire to do and be something beyond my four walls, but I felt like I don't have any time. I don't have any extra money. I don't have extra energy. Like is it possible for one person in the midst of their ordinary day to make a difference? So those questions were part of the genesis of this book. And then couple that with even before COVID and 2020 and 2021, I felt this, but now it's even more acute. That other question of the world's problems are so heavy. Like you said, it's easy to feel bitter and hopeless and discouraged. And so in that sense, I also have asked, like, what can one person do? If I don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers or bank account dollars, like I'm not called to overseas missions or to a political platform, like, can I regular Becky Keefe in Southern California, like doing my mom work from home thing, like, can I make a difference? And so those are kind of like the questions where it started. And I remember one summer morning, this was many years ago, God kind of answered that question for me. I was taking my kids to the library. And we got there 8 minutes early, which like doesn't seem like a big deal, but when you have three spirited boys, do you have any spirited children, Jamie?
I do. I do. I have at least two. I have my first is pretty low key, but the second and third are definitely. I just want to commend you though. You got somewhere 8 minutes early with three kids. I mean,
right. Well, I mean, but I thought that the library had opened an hour early. Yeah. Right. Okay. I thought that it opened at 9. So getting there at 9:52 was not early, but okay. I didn't realize they didn't open until 10 that day. But anyhow, so at the time my boys were probably like 3, 5, and 6, and those 8 minutes, they felt very much like eight hours because there was like questions and drinking fountains. And I have a kid who has a knack of like finding cupboards, and I'm like, why are there not padlocks on these things? And anyhow, trips to the bathroom. And as more people came into this like inner waiting area, I just felt like all eyes were on us. Mm-hmm. And my kids weren't being bad. They're just high energy, curious little boys. And so when those library doors finally opened, this woman caught my eye, and I could tell that she had been watching us. And she goes, "It's going to be a long summer." And I was like, "Yeah." And then she said something I'll never forget. She said, "But you're doing a really great job, and I'm glad that you're here."
Oh.
And she had one that was just such a kind thing to say. And I think that would have like buoyed the spirit of any mom. But the extra layer of that is that she had no idea how much I was struggling in my motherhood skin, how much I felt inadequate in parenting my three spirited boys, and how I often questioned, like, should we be here? Like, should we be taking up public space when we don't quite fit the mold? And I often felt like that our presence was a burden. And so anyhow, the fact that a stranger, and I was bracing myself for criticism, which haven't we all experienced that? Like a critical, judgmental word from someone else, and that defeats us. But instead, the stranger took a moment to see another person and speak life and encouragement. One, it changed my whole posture that day. I thought about that comment for days, weeks, and now years later, but also it answered that question. Can one person make a difference? Yes, because that woman did for me. And then it inspired me. I'm like, I want to be that kind of person that in the midst of my ordinary day, she didn't go out of her way. It was just right where she was. And I was like, I can do that. Even when I have kids hanging on all over me, even when I'm sleep deprived, even fill in the blank, whatever we feel like our limitations are, no one is disqualified from being kind. No one is disqualified from the simple gift of giving encouragement. And so really this was the start of the simple difference. And then, you know, the publishing process is long. Like by the time I, you know, write a book proposal and get a contract and all of those things, you know, was years in the making. And then when I actually sat down to start full-blown writing, it just happened to be March of 2020. Wow. And so
that's perfect timing.
Right. I was like, but also I was like, God, what are you doing? Like now my people are all home around me all the time.
Oh yeah.
And that was its own kind of challenge, but certainly it felt like this is a timeless message because it's based in scripture and really, you know, God's call to love one another as ourselves, but it absolutely feels timely, for such a time as this. And I think that's also the kindness of God.
Yeah. And, you know, even those things that were just like, what are you doing, God? I'm sure there are elements of that time at home with your family that impacted your writing in a way that needed to happen to get the finished product to look exactly like it needed to look. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. You're so right. And this might be jumping ahead, but I just have to tell you, picking up on that, is there's a chapter in the book that I never intended to include. Mm-hmm. And it's called Hardest at Home.
I knew that you were going to say that. And that was my favorite because it spoke to me and it speaks to me. Yeah.
Yes. So like that was not in my outline. And mm-hmm. yet here I am at home writing about the power of intentional kindness and with our words and our prayers and our actions. And then suddenly I'm faced with the reality of I have a tendency not to be very kind to the people that I actually love the most. And why is that? And why do I think a lot of us do that? So did the circumstances shape the writing of the book? Yes, it did.
That is great. Well, it really is. And that, I mean, that's not skipping ahead at all. We can just talk about that. And just the fact that, you know, how, you know, I find that I'll be, you know, working on a podcast or working on writing something, and you're writing this thing that's supposed to be, you know, to glorify God, and a kid does something and I just push them aside. Not that there's not a time for boundaries, but I'm mm-hmm. just like, you know, I put them off in a way that's irritable and, you know, not kind. So, I mean, along those lines, what are some things that we can do if we recognize that? I'm sure there's not a single person that would not acknowledge that it's difficult.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think the first is acknowledging it mm-hmm. and also saying like, I don't want to keep living this way. Yeah. And I think that's a powerful thing to say, because I think it's in a lot of ways countercultural, because I don't know about you, but I scroll Instagram and I see meme after meme after meme about, you know, moms hiding in closets and being irritated with their kids and how crazy life is. And you just want to escape. And, you know, maybe you're irritated at your husband because there's, you know, dirty socks on the floor. And this is by no means like a call for false positivity or to slap on a filter, or not to say that like motherhood is hard and marriage and home life, even if you're not married with kids, like I'm sure having a roommate is irritating and hard. Like all of that is
relationships,
relationships, right? Like,
yeah,
being a person in a relationship with other people is hard. But so I think there can be this like societal, like kind of pass we give ourselves, like, well, of course I'm going to be irritated at my children. Well, of course I'm going to be annoyed at my spouse. Well, while there might be moments of annoyance or irritation, at the same time, while I try to train my kids, like, yes, your brother is bothering you, but you are in control of how you respond to him. It's time to take our own good advice and training and apply it to our own lives. And so I think one, recognizing our tendencies to not be kind, to be unkind in our tone, in, you know, in our self-focus. And then two, to ask ourselves a very simple question of, how can I be a blessing in fill in the blanks day, in my child's day, in my husband's day? How can I really see them? And like you mentioned, like, that doesn't mean not having boundaries. Like, yes, my children are old enough that if I'm on the phone, they should not interrupt me unless someone is like bleeding or puking. Like those are like my, like if you are having a true issue, but also like, if I just want to be scrolling my phone on Instagram because I'm tired and I have a kid coming and wanting to tell me something, and I'm like, not even making eye contact, and I'm just like, not right now, not right now. Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. That's a moment to be like, what does it look like to see my son, to give him the love and attention that he needs, or to even just be honest and say, you know what? Mom's having a really hard day. I just need, can you give me 5 more quiet minutes? And then I'll come and I'll give you my full attention. I think mm-hmm. a lot of it is just being self-aware and good communicators instead of just living in that state of frustration and irritation. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, absolutely. And that, you know, the thing that I realized at one point is, when's the last time I made eye contact with my child in a meaningful way? Mm-hmm. Because I'll say, do this, or we'll be doing something together or whatever. But when was the last time I stopped and I just looked that kid in the eye? Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, I did it with my daughter. I said, come here, you know, and let's talk. And I looked her in the eye and my soul was filled. Like I was like, oh my goodness. I love this connection with my child. And I think there's an illusion when we seek after certain things that we think are going to bring us fulfillment, and some of them do, but like, I think there's this illusion that whether it's housework or scrolling Instagram or working mm-hmm. on the podcast or writing a book or whatever it is that you're into, cooking, there's this idea that that thing, seeing it through, is going to somehow be more important or give you more fulfillment than taking that moment and mm-hmm. making that eye contact. And it takes so little. That's the other thing I realized was I sat there and I talked to her for like 5 minutes and I could tell she got a lot out of it and I got a lot out of it. And then mm-hmm. she was happy. Like she wasn't bugging me, you know, to give her attention because we connected and then she could go and do her thing. And so then it was a win-win. We both won. And anyway, that's kind of what I've sort of noticed.
But, no, that's so good. And it just starts with like seeing her, right? Yeah. Just slowing down to see her. And I love that Jesus did this. Like he valued people over productivity, which as an Enneagram 3, like is so hard for me because I'm a people person, but also I'm like, I'm a girl who loves a list and I want to feel accomplished in my day. And, but I think about, you know, the little children coming to Jesus and the disciples were like, like we don't have time for this.
His people didn't want him to take time because they didn't think that there was time for it.
But Jesus was like, no, come to me. And I think if we want to experience and then share the love and kindness of Jesus, we need to be people who take a deep breath and say, yeah, come to me. Like I'll give you, you are worthy of my time and attention.
That's so good. Well, you are the community manager for Day Springs Encourage. I imagine that with such a diverse group of women with all kinds of backgrounds and, you know, common faith in Jesus, but so many other differences and coming from different places, that there must be challenges. And I'm just curious, how have you as a community navigated some of the crazy conflict and differences of opinion and hard things that we've gone through as a society? And what has that community taught you about kindness?
Yeah, absolutely. In the last, 20 months, I feel like that this has definitely come more to the surface for all of us than even before. And I think what the writers of Encourage have taught me is the value of championing one another, the kindness of showing up without, what's what I'm looking for? Without condition. So some of our writers, especially I think of our writers of color, have shared on Encourage over the last year and a half, especially about some of their stories, some of their experiences with prejudice or injustice. We at Encourage, we want to share our stories so that other women don't feel alone and feel seen, and also to learn from experiences unlike their own, unlike our own. And so I love that I have friends who are willing to go first with their hard stories so that I can learn from a perspective that I never would have had. But there have been times where we honestly have had people, readers, who don't like something that they read, or they read it from their own lens and there's a harsh criticism. And one thing that has beautifully happened behind the scenes at Encourage is a sisterhood of writers who come and support one another. And it doesn't mean that in supporting that we are saying like, I believe with every one of your political point of views, or I believe, you know, I am subscribing to every one of your, you know, doctrinal statements. No, like, and I think that's been like a cultural breakdown to say, like, in order to affirm this friendship, we have to be exactly on the same page in our positions. Right. And I don't think that's true. I think that there is room to be like, there's going to be a lot that maybe we don't agree with, but if we agree on Jesus, or even not that, like, and everyone at Encourage does, but I'm just thinking in general, in relationships with people, like,
right, across humanity,
like, if we see one another as an image bearer of God, as someone who is made by Him, loved by Him, that should inform how we treat one another. And so what has the Encourage community taught me about kindness? They've taught me about the kindness of being willing to share hard stories, about showing up for one another and supporting one another, not to tear someone else down, but just to say, like, I see you, you matter to me. Your story is valuable. I'm glad that you're here. And I've seen that that can be really healing.
Yeah, I saw something that you all put out. I saw it on Instagram initially, and it was a video, and it was like a Brady Bunch panel of all different. I mean, it was like a bunch of different writers. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. We've done a couple of those.
It was beautiful. It was this particular one was basically not all of your writers, but many different writers from different cultural and, you know, diverse backgrounds coming mm-hmm. together with different viewpoints. But what I loved was there was so much honesty. Mm-hmm. A couple of them shared that, yeah, we disagreed on this. We had a hard time. Like we didn't like each other for a while because we had this disagreement and we came together. And when we listened to each other, you know, we still have points we don't agree with, but we've come together and the picture of what the church needs to be with a mm-hmm. capital C. And I loved it. And it really deeply impacted me to see that example. Yeah. But it begins with, I think, a safe place to express mm-hmm. yourself and a safe place to disagree. And I think, you know, it appears that you've created a place like that, that is able to have that. I'm sure it's not all perfect, but it just to be able to openly work through things like that,
yeah,
publicly and come away as friends is amazing. I think it's amazing and inspirational. Hey there, it's Jamie. I'm just going to interrupt the conversation for a quick minute to share about our new sponsor of the podcast, the Abide Christian Meditation app. If you find yourself dealing with stress and anxiety throughout your day, or if you've tried to make time to be still and to pray and you just can't seem to make it happen, we know someone who can help. The Abide Christian Meditation app is a perfect tool to help you incorporate prayer and biblically based meditation into your day. And for a limited time, our listeners will get 25% off a premium subscription when you visit abide.co/praying. Abide meditations are the perfect way to start your day. So before you check your phone and get into social media or get into responding to emails, take just a couple of minutes to start your day off right. You will be amazed at how much more prayerful and peaceful your day becomes when you start it off by spending time with God. So get started now with your 25% off a premium subscription by downloading the Abide app at abide.co/praying. You'll get additional stories and meditations, premium music, soothing sounds, and more. Abide is the number one Christian meditation app. Abide users report less stress, lower levels of anxiety and depression, and better sleep. So support this show and get 25% off by going to abide.co/praying. That's abide.co/praying to download the Abide app and get 25% off today. We know you're going to love it.
Thank you for saying that. And, you know, I think another thing it takes a lot of humility. It takes humility to risk saying something when you're not quite sure how it's going to be received. Mm-hmm. And I can remember there's times where I have said something thinking that it was an encouragement, and then to have an encouraged sister say, hey, when you say it like that, this is how I'm taking it. And it would feel a lot better if you would acknowledge it this way. And I was like, I had no idea. And I think in those moments, it's so easy, especially in this current cultural climate, like to be defensive. Well, that's not what I meant. Well, if you knew my heart, or if you trusted me, instead of just being like, oh, thank you for letting me know. Like,
yeah,
I want to do better. I want to love you well. And, but I think we have to be willing to risk feeling uncomfortable. We have to be willing to risk, not pushing our position, but like you said, like it starts with like that listening, like, am I going to show up and just be willing to listen and to make that safe space for someone from a different background, from a different belief, different experiences to share honestly and for us to kind of grapple through it together.
Yeah. Well, and I think if we focus ourselves on being a person that is a safe person for someone to speak that kind of truth to, because obviously the people that have expressed those things to you wouldn't do that if you were going to be, you know, seething behind the scenes or punishing them by, you know, you don't get published this month because of what right. you said. No. But anyway, but you know, obviously you were a safe person to speak to. And so on both sides, I think we need to be willing to be honest, which is really hard for me because I don't like conflict of any kind. So I don't like saying things, even if they're not mm-hmm. mean, even if it's just a truth, like speaking a truth in love is hard for me to do, mm-hmm. but it's important because otherwise you keep it inside. And on the flip yeah. side, I really desire the kind of people in my life to speak directly because, and I feel relieved when my mm-hmm. husband is the opposite. He's very much he just lays it all out there. And I always, mm-hmm. he's honest to the point where I feel very comfortable knowing where I stand with him at all times. Mm-hmm. And I desire that in other people. So I need to yeah. kind of probably work on being, you know, more like that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in your book, you talk about how there's this difference between random acts of kindness, which, you know, there you've seen the bumper stickers out there, and intentional kindness. Your book is about intentional kindness. So can you talk about that difference between those two terms?
Yeah. So the actual action can often end up looking similar, mm-hmm. but here's the distinction in my mind. A random act of kindness is often something extra we do when we feel like it. Mm-hmm. When we're having a good day, we'll think, oh yeah, I'll smile at that stranger or give a compliment to the barista. Or, you know, if we're, you know, have an extra 5-10 bucks, we'll pay for the person in the drive-through behind us. Like it often comes like, or, you know, we're like, oh, it's, you know, it's the holidays or it's the anniversary of this person. Like I'm going to do a random act of kindness on their behalf. It's often when we feel like it, which there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. But intentional kindness is more of a posture that says, whether I feel like it or not, whether I, in my own estimation, think that I have something to give, I am purposing to see the people in front of me and give what I have right where I am. And it kind of goes along with this simple difference prayer that I have. And it's, as I go on my way, Lord, have your way with me. And so I think random acts of kindness are often this like going out of our way, whereas intentional kindness, it's like every day, like right where I am, like when you're picking up your kids from school, when you are, you know, at the dry cleaners. I say that as an example. I think I've been to the dry cleaners like twice in my whole life. But some people go. If you go,
I don't.
I'm like, why do I say the dry cleaners? It's not like I ever even... But, you know, whatever, like, but that idea of like, as we're going on our way and whatever our daily lives look like, where we live, eyes wide open to the people around us and heart soft and surrendered to the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is that He asks us to do.
Yeah. I love that picture of not going out of your way to do something kind, because that's not sustainable. We're all busy. We have stuff going on, but to right in your sphere, to just live a life of kindness. I mean, just to kind of have it overflow. And I mean, isn't that what being salt and light in the world that we live in is all about? I like that because I mean, that makes it very doable and
yeah.
I'm even just starting to think of ideas now. Yeah. If I could do this and this and this, I just think back to that example that you gave of that woman at the library. And mm-hmm. I think we've all had moments like that, that we hold on to something that that woman probably has no idea.
How could she?
Right.
No until idea.
She reads your book.
Yeah.
But, or sees this interview, but, yes. But yeah, those little things to just think that if I did maybe just a few of those a week, if not mm-hmm. several a day, how many lives could be like just lifted up? Like, you know, I think of the kingdom of heaven is like yeast in bread. And I always picture it as these teeny tiny little pieces of, you know, little yeast, whatever.
Specks. They look like seeds. They're not seeds.
And,
but yeah.
Right. But they like collectively raise up that dough. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. If all of us were to do just a little bit of this kindness, it truly would raise up. Because what I have experienced is when I've been on the end of feeling offended or feeling bitter or reacting strongly to something or someone, I typically don't express it, but when I encounter that person and I encounter kindness on their part, regardless of what they've said that might've been offensive in the past or on paper or on whatever mm-hmm. online, it's like, it totally diffuses that bitterness or whatever it is that's yeah. inside. And so that kindness, you know, if we have any part of us that's offending others in some way or riling someone up because of whatever, you know, then our kindness can diffuse that and kind of neutralize it. So that's really neat.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many just really simple everyday things. And I like to think about like, what am I already doing and how can I bless someone in the midst of what I'm already doing? So like one of my favorite things is if I'm on my way to Trader Joe's or Costco, I do this so often that usually the Lord he'll just like drop a name in my head of a friend. And maybe it's a friend who's going through a hard time, or maybe it's just a friend who I know is like lives en route, whatever. And I'll often just send a text, "Hey, I'm on my way to Target, to Costco. Like, do you need anything?" And usually that person says no, but guess what? There is a kindness of being thought of. The fact that like, you know, I reached out. I have a friend whose daughter has cancer right now, and it like breaks my heart. And sometimes I think, especially when someone's going through a crisis and it feels like what could I possibly do to change this situation?
Right.
Nothing. But how can I love well in the midst of it? And those are simple things like, "Hey, I am on my way to Costco. Like, can I get you a rotisserie chicken and, you know, a baguette and a bag of salad so you don't have to think about dinner tonight?" It doesn't have to be big or flashy. Or another like favorite example, I have a neighbor who I've been getting to know for the last several months. We've lived in our house for 8 years, but I'm just starting to get to know her. And she's older and she lives alone. And excuse me, she was on my heart the other day and I was like, "How can I bless Crystal?" And I noticed I had a chocolate cake on my counter that a family member had brought over for dinner the night before. And I was like, I'm just gonna take Crystal a piece of cake. I don't know if she likes chocolate cake. I didn't bake the cake. I didn't even buy the cake. Like, but that just like, it just shows like it doesn't have to be big or elaborate, but yeah. I also think it's important to embrace the power of now, which means like oftentimes the Lord can put someone on our heart and we're like, "Oh yeah, like I'll call them later or I'll do that thing later." Often if we just like with your daughter, you just took those 5 minutes right then and connected with her. I think if we just take that instant, you know, pick up the phone or send that text or walk across the street. And it made my neighbor's day. She's like, "I love chocolate cake." But even if she hadn't, even if she was allergic to gluten or sugar or something that I wasn't aware of, she still would have received the gift of being thought of. And I think that's one of the simplest kindnesses we can give.
Oh, absolutely. Who doesn't want to feel seen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what are some other ideas, like just kind of off the top of your head, what are some other kinds of things that you've heard people do or that you enjoy doing that are just kind of along this lines of things that you can do just every day?
absolutely, words of encouragement, I think, are one of the simplest, most powerful things that we can do for the people in our home and the stranger, you know, we're standing in line with at the grocery store. I mean, if someone says like, wow, like that green is a great color on you. Like, how does that lift your spirit? You know, or when I've had a friend who was like, wow, Becky, like you're a really great mom. Wow. Like like even I see like you, like your posture, like it just gives you that breath of fresh air, right?
That was so nice to hear. Yeah.
That'd be so nice to hear. I think also let us not forget the kindness of prayer, which obviously is, you know, something that you guys are so passionate about and great at equipping women. And one thing that I have learned that has been such a huge kindness I have received is when someone prays for me in the moment. It's great to say, I will pray for you. Do that. But when I have had, you know, a friend right there at the park, even with her eyes open and I'm sharing something that's on my heart and she's like, I'm going to pray for you about that. And to have a friend put her arm around me and we're still keeping an eye on our kiddos, and it doesn't have to be simple or long or eloquent, but just to take my concerns straight to the feet of Jesus. That's powerful. And sometimes it's going to be awkward, especially maybe God's going to prompt you to pray for someone in the toilet aisle at Target or at the dry cleaners, if that's where you go. Like there's all these places. Do it anyway. Be awkward. Like you never know what difference that can make. In the book, I tell a story about my friend Mae Patterson, who had an encounter in an airport where God prompted her to pray for a stranger. And she like, I have never done this before. And I'm so glad she did, because then she told the story and then I got to retell the story, and it's impacting lives to think about, let's care more about loving someone in front of us than our own discomfort or awkwardness in the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely, you've got to check your pride at the door sometimes, especially when it comes to praying for someone, because, you know, giving someone a free coffee or a cake or something like those are a little bit less risky. But when you're putting yourself out there, I mean, there are times when people might not be receptive to that. So yeah, it's definitely, it's checking your pride at the door. And if that person says no, if you say, may I pray for you? And they say, nope, you can just be like, well, maybe I didn't hear right from God. Or maybe that person didn't want you to pray for them, but inside they're like, that person cared enough to ask if they could pray for me. Wow.
Right.
Even if they just, you know, didn't want to be prayed for, but you know, just that act, like you said.
Yes. Well, and here's the thing too, just like, what I think about so often is, and I preach to myself, like, I'm responsible for being obedient to God. He is responsible for the outcome. Yeah. Like the young boy who gave his 5 loaves and 2 fish, he was not responsible for solving the crowd's hunger problem and their crisis of being in a remote area. No, he just was responsible for giving what he had. And then God's power gets to shine when it's multiplied. And oftentimes, like, we don't get to see, like, we just know that there's a seed planted, or we just know, wow, well, that didn't go the way I hoped, but on to the next thing. Like, we don't have to, our identity isn't tied up in kindness. And the truth is, it's not about us. Like, it's not about if we get a pat on the back or a shiny gold star. Like, it's, I think when we live out of that, like we were saying, the overflow, have we experienced the kindness of God in our lives in such a way that it compels us to share it with others. Yeah. If we get to see some of those stories and the ripple effect, great. If not, we can still trust that we're doing exactly what God would have us do.
Well, why do you believe that being a change maker begins with seeing and not doing, to kind of back it up a little bit? You know, we're talking about the doing, but how does it begin with seeing? What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, I think we've already, you know, touched on this, that it starts with that just act of living aware of really seeing the person in front of us, of setting aside our own distraction, our own agenda. You know, I realize that so often when I'm either in my home or I'm out doing errands or on the soccer sideline or even like waiting for church to start. Like I am thinking about my work project that I have to finish and what should I cook for dinner? And oh, there's that friend that I forgot to text back and I'm probably scrolling Instagram at the same time. Like if I'm doing all of that, I am not seeing the people in front of me. And so that's the very first step. Like we aren't even in a posture of seeing the needs around us if we aren't first seeing people. So that's why I think it starts with seeing the people in front of us. It also starts with, as we've talked about a little bit, like seeing God's lavish love for us. Mm. I think when we really recognize the undeserved kindness that we have received from God, it frees us to be like, yep, no one deserves kindness. No one deserves love. And yet God chose to freely give it. And therefore I am able and I want to do the same. And then it's seeing the possibility of the Holy Spirit's power within us. Again, like this is not about me. It's not about like, do this by my own strength and check off another box. Have I been kind today? Have I done a kind deed? No, it's saying, God, every day as I go on my way, like help me to see the frazzled mom, help me to see even a friend who is feeling depressed or overlooked. Help me to see the neighbor across the street who I don't even know her name, but you want me to reach out and connect. Help me to see my own children, my husband, my parents in your eyes. And then help me to see that you can use exactly what I have right where I am to show your love.
Well, that is great. I love it. I love this book and this message, and I just can't wait to share it with our listeners. So thank you for sharing. Where can our listeners find you online and find your book and connect with you?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. My favorite place to hang out is on Instagram, and I'm just at Becky Keefe. And so if you listen to this episode, would you come over there and just let me know and say hi? I would love to connect with you. You can find The Simple Difference on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever books are sold. And you can check out more resources at bethesimpledifference.com. bethesimpledifference.com. It's a great book to do with friends. And I have a free small group discussion guide. I've also written a companion Bible study called Courageous Kindness, Live the Simple Difference Right Where You Are. And on my website, you can find leader resources. We encourage has 6 free videos. So we make it really easy for you to go through with a group or on your own. And you can find all that at bethesimpledifference.com.
That's great. That is a lot of stuff. You've been busy.
Yes, I have. But such God's kindness. I mean, couldn't do it on my own and I wouldn't want to. So yeah. He's
well,
so
that
good.
That is great, Becky. Well, thank you for talking with us. And I'm going to close this up in prayer. How can we pray for you today?
That's so kind to ask. I would just love discernment for the next right thing the Lord has for me in terms of work and my family, just for his guidance and wisdom in the season.
All right. We will do it. Well, Becky, thank you for taking time to talk with us today. And we just really, I mean, I really believe this message is transformational. I think this could definitely, if we all just really took it in, the world could be transformed. So thank you for putting it out there.
Thank you for having me.
All right. God, we just thank you so much for this time together to focus on kindness and just the impact and the power of being salt and light in a world that desperately needs Jesus. I just thank you for Becky. Thank you for your perfect timing, even though I'm sure she was thinking, God, are you crazy? When the pandemic struck and she's sitting there trying to write and think and work with a house full of family. Lord, you knew exactly when it needed to come to fruition. You knew exactly how it was going to come about. And we just acknowledge you as so much wiser than we are. And we just thank you for the blessing of that added chapter that wouldn't have been in there. and just all of the ways that you give us better gifts than we could ever even ask for ourselves. And so we thank you, God. And we just pray for Becky now as she puts all of this amazing stuff out into the world, that you would open doors for it to reach many, many women, many more women than she ever even imagined, that this message and the practice of kindness would truly transform the church and transform the world and bring glory to you, God. Just bring down glimpses of your kingdom on this earth. God, I just pray for wisdom and discernment for Becky, that she would hear your voice above anyone else's when it comes to what she needs to do next. And we just pray that would be very clear and very straightforward, and just for the ability to steward all the callings that you've placed on her and in her life well, and just to help her to understand that where you have called her, you have already equipped her, and that you will be there to be her strength, even in the times when she feels weak, that your power is made perfect in that weakness, to the point where she's going to do amazing, amazing things. And we just thank you for her. Thank you for Encourage and the blessing that that ministry is. And we just pray your blessing on Encourage as well, that you would just bless those women, bless Becky as she leads them as community director, and just be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.